Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill, we're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we'd like for you to really share the show with your friends and family throughout the country and throughout the world. God is amazingly gracious, and he does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. So he is giving us some very incredible gifts. I can't really find the right words to describe them. They're just really anointed because I know that many of them, if not all of them, are asking for wisdom every day. So right now we want to start the show off on the right foundation, and that is asking him really to be Lord over our conversation. So I'm going to turn it over to our co-host, Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before our Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the gift of this day and all the many gifts that you bestow on us every day. Father, we're grateful that you created us in your own image and likeness, that we might have fellowship with you, Lord, and learn from you, Lord, that we might have that intimate relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord, and I pray, Father, that we would increasingly listen to you better, Father, study your word, learn from you, Father, and then obey you and apply everything we learn from you, Lord, for your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but you would desire that we would know them, Father, and we desire that too. We pray, Father, your blessing during this time that we have on the radio show. We pray your blessing, Father, for your people throughout the world, Father, especially those that are undergoing such persecution, Father, that we cannot even think about, Lord, cannot even imagine. It's so bad. We pray your provision for them, Father, your strength for them during their time of crisis, Lord. And we pray for all those in need, Father, that they would cry out to you and that you would hear and answer their prayers. We pray for our soldiers, our troops, and their families, your blessing. And we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of Israel. We pray this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And as always, Ms. Barbara, you know, we ask people to listen to our previous podcast. We have such an array of guests, and they lend so much information that you don't hear of in the news. So we ask people to go www.cityonahill.tv and share the podcast. And one of our regulars, she's a pretty much a co-host of ours. We're so glad to have Dawn Wildman from California's Tea Party. And hi, Dawn.
Hi, Diana. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hey there.
How are you,
ladies? It's always good to be on with you, Dawn. And I know you'd probably not be on with Miss Barbara for a while.
Why?
It's been a bit.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said I'm not going to be on with her for a while, and I thought, well, what happened?
No, I think she's, you know, a lot of times on Fridays, Miss Barbara's not always on, so I was thinking, when's the last time y'all two were on together? But I sure love both of your perspective, but we're waiting on Chaplain Gordon Klingensmith to join us. Now, he may not be able to because I don't see him for some reason, and I know he has been traveling, and Miss Barbara, you have really been missing him because you've been getting emails from him, and but anyway, I wanted him to be on with Dawn because of something that we found out earlier this week, Ms. Barbara, from Dawn Bernard. And I guess until our other guest, Chaplain, comes on, if you don't mind, go ahead and share with Dawn the news that we heard about General Allen.
Yes, very, very disturbing news that John Bernard shared with us about General Allen. Who has made excuses, actually, for our enemies in Afghanistan, the Afghanis that we've trained and equipped to defend against the Taliban, have turned on our troops. And General Allen, tried to make excuses for them, such as having gone through stress during the time of Ramadan, the Muslim fast, and so forth, and stress of maybe not being able to pray those five times a day the way they are required to in Islam. I don't know. But anyway, and then he chastises and he criticizes our troops, such as he did when the Quran was discovered that was in the burn pile. And so forth. So anyway, he brought this information to us, and he also brought, which we all agree, the man should be court-martialed for making excuses for the enemy and chastising American troops. But he also talked about the disturbing, actually terrifying news that the numbers of these incidents have grown dramatically every year. And this past year, I think it started in, I don't remember the year. I have it written down somewhere. But anyway, it about 5 years ago or more, with two incidences, and it's up to 40 incidences during 2012 already. And they're just, you know, increasing in great numbers. So we've got to do something. Our soldiers cannot. They cannot. They're doing their job, but we as civilians, as Americans, as patriots, we've got to do our job, and we've got to get the Pentagon cleansed. He said about 50% approve of Obama's administration and Department of Defense and so forth. So we've got to get on the ball, get active, and get some changes made. So what else, Diana?
Well, that was one of the things that I know since, you know, Chaplain, he has got an awful lot of people on his email list, so to speak,
yeah.
Because of the Pray in Jesus' Name project. So that's been really outstanding. I know he can make things move in Congress, but I also wanted Dawn, because I know, Dawn, this really strikes at the heart to you to be aware of it.
I wish I was surprised. I really wish that I've been watching the very tiny bit of news that comes out about these incidents. You can definitely see that there is a trend. It is moving up. You see that, frankly, any one of these incidents should have been enough to be going back to the Pentagon and the administration calling for, you know, an immediate withdrawal. As per candidate Obama in 2008's promise, but let's not dicker around about that. But I think that the biggest problem I see with all of this, it is all leads back to exactly what we saw happen yesterday at the Democrat National Convention, where they had taken God and Jerusalem out of their platform. Don't believe Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who said, oh, you know, we pressed the wrong key. They had changed the language completely. They had removed God from their language. You saw on the floor of the DNC, those that were Arab American were very upset by the words God and Jerusalem going back into the platform, which evidently was the administration. So are we terribly surprised to see all of these things happening? You have an administration who runs our War Department, basically, our Pentagon, that couldn't care less for our military. And it's so disingenuous to see Michelle Obama up there talking about wounded warriors and how much we need to, you know, be helping our military when these folks are, you know, deliberately going out of their way to block military early voting. Don't tell me that you support the military. There is absolutely nothing I see in what you're doing that supports the military. And it truly is disgusting to me that we don't have more men that are in these positions of power in the military that don't raise a hand and raise a red flag and say, wait a minute, you know, this is not the Army I signed up for, or Marines or whatever.
Well, Don, let me go ahead and bring in, I think that's Chaplain. Hi, Chaplain, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, Diana. And who's your other guest? God bless you in Jesus' name.
Oh, Don Wilson from California. She's our dear friend with the Tea Party in California, Southern Cal, and Coalition. And we are just so glad to have her on with you because, Chaplain, we wanted to bring up this issue, and we really want to hear more from you because we hadn't heard from you in a while, but one issue we heard this past Tuesday from John Bernard was a General John Allen, Marine Corps General, saying that this green on blue killings that were happening in Afghanistan, where the Afghanis were turning on against Americans and killing them, that's because of the stress of Ramadan.
That's entirely possible. I know, for example, my best man in my wedding, a fellow Air Force Academy graduate, just spent some time in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And it's sad, I think, that even the Americans who are serving in the military there are forced to observe Ramadan and fast while the sun is shining, because there's such a, a fear of offending somebody who's a radical Muslim, even in our allied militaries, that the Americans are not allowed to eat lunch. And I thought that was surprising to me, that they all fast together, the Muslims and the American Christians, practice Ramadan and observe the Muslim ritual of fasting, and then they shoot us anyway. So why do we, as Christians, kowtow and show great respect to a false Muslim god, the false god Allah, who's worshipped by the false prophet Muhammad? It shows a sign of American weakness. It's the opposite of religious freedom. I think our troops ought to have religious freedom simply to eat lunch while the sun is shining if they happen to be serving in Afghanistan or Pakistan. But no, they're discouraged from doing that by the Obama administration and the pro-Muslim leanings and tendencies of the Obama administration. I think we've sort of lost sight of why we're over there. I think we're over there so that we can be converted, not so that we can help them find freedom of religion.
And since when did the military have to give up their constitutional right by joining a voluntary military service? Because that seems to be the record and the trend of this particular administration, that if you join our military voluntarily, you will be giving up your constitutional rights.
Well, you're telling the story of my life. As a former Navy chaplain, I was told I could not pray in Jesus' name in public, in uniform, outside of Sunday chapel. Well, I took a stand. I violated that policy. I prayed in Jesus' name anyway, and they sent me to court-martial for disobeying orders, and they terminated my career. But thank God the American people rose up with me. 300,000 Americans signed a petition to Congress, and Congress vindicated my stand, and they agreed with me by rebuking the Navy and reversing the bad policy for which I was punished. So by taking a stand in the military as a chaplain, I was able to help restore religious freedom for all the other troops and all the other chaplains and their right for free speech and their right to pray publicly in Jesus' name.
So we're allowed to pray publicly, but we can't actually follow the doctrine of our own religious beliefs while we are in service in Afghanistan. We must follow the religious beliefs of the nation where we exist.
Well, it is discouraging that they're pressuring American GIs to practice the Muslim ritual of Ramadan fasting, going without food for those 12 hours, I suppose, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. when the sun is up. But I think it's more indicative of what the Obama administration in general has been pushing on our troops, denying religious freedom, for example, to Americans to purchase Bibles with military insignia printed on the front, denying access for example, General Jerry Boykin, a dear friend of ours, to speak at West Point at a Christian prayer breakfast, which was optional attendance, because some atheist complainers and our, I hesitate to call him a friend out of New Mexico, Mikey Weinstein is issuing press releases threatening lawsuits if they don't silence the Christians from even speaking at an optional prayer breakfast. This is a 3-star general who graduated from West Point. He's not even allowed to speak at his own alma mater for an optional prayer breakfast. The Obama administration is hostile to people of faith, and they're hostile to any religious expression of Christianity by anyone in the military because they have this phony notion of separation of church and state, which makes them falsely believe that if anyone joins the military, they have to be an atheist or a Muslim, and that's absolutely ridiculous. I think 85% of military members are self-identified Christians, and they should be allowed to pray and preach in Jesus' name and have the same freedom of speech and religion that they sacrifice and die to give for other Americans. Our troops need that religious freedom first.
Absolutely. If we can't guarantee their religious freedom on the battlefield, then what is the point? And this is exactly the precise idea of the administration. What is the point of having it at home? Did you guys all hear that Bishop E.W. Jackson has sent out a big alert asking for Christians and Jews to have a mass exodus from the Democrat Party because of what he finally sees now as the last straw by removing God in Jerusalem from their platform? This was, I think, one of the most courageous acts, aside from what the chaplain has done and many, many other folks in the same light. But to have somebody come out and say, you know, it's time to leave. These guys were right the first time when they showed us that they wanted God in Jerusalem removed from the platform. That's exactly what they meant. That's exactly what they think. That's exactly how they feel. And, you know, how does a Christian remain a Democrat at this point?
I totally agree. Bishop E.W. Jackson is a dear friend of mine. I campaigned with him when he was running for Senate in Virginia Beach in Chesapeake, Virginia. Against George Allen, who is now the Republican nominee, but when he goes to the Senate, I don't know if he's going to have as much fire and passion for Christian values as E.W. Jackson did during his campaign. And E.W., many of you who don't know, is a well-respected African-American bishop for his denomination, leads several churches in the Virginia Beach and Chesapeake area, and is absolutely right when he says that there should be a mass exodus of Christians from the Democrat Party. I'm concerned, and I hear this debate among the African-American pastors that I know around the country, because I think, you know, and maybe because of affinity or because of their own historical persecution, maybe it was proper for many of the black people in 2008 to feel like they needed to vote for a man, you know, a man of their own historical background, a man of their own persecution. Barack Obama earned perhaps over 90% of the African-American vote, and yet there are so many Christians among the African-American people who are now conflicted because they've seen, after they elected this man president, how hostile he is to people of faith, how he forced homosexuality upon our military, how he wants to abort African-American babies and is paying Planned Parenthood with our taxpayer dollars to kill children of the African-American community. It's really sad. Now, finally, maybe this is the last straw this week when the Democrat National Committee platform doesn't even include God or Jerusalem, and then they have to take a vote to insert those language because they realize their own mistake. As Paul Begala said, it was an unforced error on their part. They could have easily put God or Jerusalem in the platform in the first place, but no. They took it out, and it was pointed out, and they were losing votes among the Jewish community, among the Christian community. So they did this big amendment in the middle of the convention. And if anybody hasn't watched the video, you should Google the video, because for 5 minutes, the Democrat delegates began mocking God and mocking Israel. They couldn't even get a voice majority vote to reinsert God and Jerusalem into the platform.
But
it
they
was
had
ridiculous.
Already decided that they would introduce it no matter what that voice vote was, because we saw on the teleprompter they were going to say it was an affirmative vote no matter which way it went.
That's right. It was all pre-scripted, but they had to follow, you know, some modicum of, you know, publicity for to get the people a voice vote. And they had to take the voice vote three times because it required a two-thirds majority, and none of the three times did they get a two-thirds majority. But at the end, I want to say it was Ted Strickland, a Democrat from Ohio, finally threw up his hands and said, well, I guess that's close enough. Well, counted as if it's a two-thirds majority who really love God. But more than half of the Democrats hate God. More than half of the Democrats hate Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. They're anti-Semitic. They're anti-Christian. They're anti-God. And so it's time, really, for the Christian people in the Democrat Party to wake up as to who has taken over your party. It's run by homosexuals. It's run by anti-Christian atheists. It's run by people who hate Israel and hate the Jewish people. I think it's time for Christians to return to, if not the Republican Party, then at least be you know, independent-minded when it comes to voting for your Christian values, and let the African-American people rise up and stand with Dr. Martin Luther King, who was a Republican, by the way, and the party of Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves. And I think it's time for them to realize that they should have the freedom for which others have sacrificed.
Amen.
Amen. And Ms. Barbara, I think you had a question for the chaplain.
I do. I want to back up to the policy change where our soldiers are being required to go against their beliefs and observe Ramadan and fast along with the Muslims. Chaplain, how long ago was that policy started? How long has that been going on?
Well, I don't know if it's a written policy, but it was certainly, you know, an unspoken tradition that if you're going to eat lunch, then you have to do it secretly, or, you know, that it was certainly as a means to not offend the Muslims, and it was this calendar year. It was in 2012 that this was happening over in Pakistan,
okay.
Or maybe it was last year when all the flooding was happening. I know. I mean, people that I know personally, people that are very dear to me, were very upset by this policy. And they don't understand why, I guess, other than some big public relations fiasco of daring to watch an American eat a sandwich during Ramadan, as if that would upset the Muslims and they might get violent and start killing us. Well, they're doing that.
Right.
It's time that somebody it's time that somebody stands up and says, no, we're going to demand religious freedom, and you can have your religious freedom, and we're going to have our religious freedom, and that's why we're here. We're fighting for liberty, not for Islam. But no, the Obama administration is funding Islam. Look at, they gave $1.5 billion to Egypt to fund the Muslim Brotherhood's victory in the elections. They call this the Arab Spring, but the Obama administration knows it's really the Muslim radical uprising that's throwing out all the secular governments that is, you know, the secular governments like in Egypt are the only ones that were protecting. The Mubarak administration was protecting the Coptic Christians. And now they're being crucified. Now they're being literally driven out of their homes. The population of Christians in Egypt has been cut in half since Obama gave the Muslims a $1.5 billion grant with your taxpayer dollars now. Not only that, but in Syria, the CIA is funding, and this was reported by the New York Times. I'm not, you know, this is not big, some big conspiracy theorist, but the New York Times has reported that your CIA is being funded by the Obama administration to weaponize the Muslim radicals who are killing Christians in Syria. There's a great genocide happening in Syria, and it's happening because your taxpayer dollars are being sent by President Obama to the Muslim radicals in Syria, weaponized by the CIA so they can have a mass genocide to kill any Christians who remain in Syria. It's very sad, and it's underreported, but we need to get the word out. This Obama administration is the most radical, pro-Muslim, anti-Christian, violently so, administration that America's ever seen.
Yes, it is.
Well, Don, I was wondering, and Ms. Barbara was, you know, we were talking about General Allen's remark that killing our American soldiers was due to the stress of Ramadan. That's why the Afghani were doing this. And we were thinking, isn't enough enough? Isn't it time for us to look at people like General Allen and how really they're viewing, you know, I guess the role of the military, which is pretty much, I hate to say it, I guess it's like the president. There's a welcome mat to Islam, but a boot to Christians.
Absolutely. You know, we talked about it a lot here, about the government having its heel on the neck of Christians. And I am, it doesn't seem to matter in what arena we're talking about, whether it's here or when our military deployed. And as I said, if you watch the news and you pay attention, you read the paper, because they're not making a big deal about this either, the trend, the uptick of Afghanis killing U.S. soldiers. And last time I looked in the military, if you were on a U.S. base, that was U.S. soil. I don't care what country it was in. So in the way I look at it, like, I'm fine cutting you loose. Go celebrate Ramadan. Go home. Do whatever. But you don't force that belief on me. I mean, all the rhetoric is supposedly, you know, to get rid of God, period. I mean, nothing shows more further the fact that the administration doesn't want Christians versus if you're Muslim. Monday, they had a big howdy-do for the Muslim community where most of the people that were reported to be speaking were on, you know, if they're not on the terrorist list, they should be. They're all tied into terrorist activities. This was totally sanctioned by the DNC. They thought 20,000 people would show up. They had 300. I mean, you know, where does it stop? When do Christians finally get it that beyond everything else this administration does, it is the most dangerous administration to Christians that we've ever seen?
Well, Don, we were talking about speaking to Martha Roby, Ms. Barbara. You know, we had thought about that, and how should we present the idea of having, I know she is in the Armed Services Committee. How should we pose it to her that, you know, there's something wrong with this mindset? As you said, it is very dangerous.
I think you ought to call it like you see it. I think you need to, take the advice and the words of John Bernard and the chaplain about what this does. I mean, I can't even believe what this morale-sucking agenda has got to do for our men stationed upwards of a year sometimes overseas. How must that make them feel? There is no concern for the well-being, the health, obviously, the safety of our own military on a base, a U.S. base overseas. This is ridiculous. You wouldn't see this happening in Japan or Korea. We're not forcing people to aspire to follow Hindu religious beliefs or, some other religion. Why this one? Well, we know why this one. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing, but every one of these things incrementally. And they wonder why we have such a problem actually getting men and women to enlist anymore. Gee, I don't know. You know, I have an administration that just assumed to either have God sucked out of my life or have me killed. You know, it's unbelievable. 2012 in the United States, we can't even know that our men and women are safe on a U.S. base because the allies that are working with us hate us so much that if we don't pretend that we're going to go along with their religious beliefs, there might be the possibility of them killing us, which isn't a might be. They're already doing it, as the chaplain said. What's the point?
Well, it gets to be very important, really, for this coming election that all of us be involved, and Christians especially. And I know, Chaplain, that I think you have been doing a voter's guide, and you've been sending it to churches. Is that to pastors? Is that what you've been doing in the past?
In 2010, we did a voter guide. In fact, we did 50 voter guides, one for each state in America, and we faxed them to over 80,000 pastors nationwide, and we helped swing the election away from Nancy Pelosi. If you remember, about 6 weeks before the election, the Republicans were projected to pick up about 6 or maybe 8 seats in the House. That was before we faxed our voter guides. Now, after we faxed our voter guides, the Republicans picked up 46 seats in the House, swung the election so far to the right that it threw Nancy Pelosi out of her speakership, and the Christians turned out in droves. The highest percentage, I want to say 33%, of all voters self-identified as evangelical Christian, which was, according to Ralph Reed, the highest Christian turnout ever for any election in American history for self-identified evangelical Christians who read the Bible and believe in biblical values. That's why we had such a strong exodus of the pro-homosexual, anti-Christian Democrats out of the House. And I want to say we're able to do that again this year, but honestly, Diana, we don't have the funds to do this. I wish I could, spend the next 2 weeks, and we're able to do this. I mean, if we had $20,000, I would be able to send a free voter guide to 80,000 pastors across America, state by state, and identify simply in a nonpartisan way how every congressman voted on issues like Obamacare and Planned Parenthood funding and homosexualizing the military. And simply educate the pastors on how their congressman voted. Because you know those pastors, when they figure out who the Christian congressmen are and who the non-Christian congressmen are, they mobilize the church voters. And that's how they're able to turn out such a great election turnout. And I think we had a direct impact on that in 2010. But I don't know, Diana, if we're going to be able to do that again in 2012. We need about $20,000 so I can start launching those fax machines and get all of that data collated. I need employees to do that. We need volunteers probably. And then we need the computer software, which we have to rent. It's very expensive. But I already have all the lists, all the fax numbers of the 80,000 pastors in my fax machine right now. and we could swing this election. I'm not saying that I want to help Mitt Romney, but we certainly need Christian congressmen. We need Christian senators, and there are many good candidates in the Republican Party who we can support, or at least educate the pastors on how the Democrats vote against God, vote against Jesus, vote against religious freedom, and vote for the homosexual agenda. We can educate American pastors, and they can turn out the voters to swing this election so we can retake a Christian government for the first time in 4 years.
Well, Chaplain, I do remember the polls, and I'm not, you know, much in believing the polls, but I do remember what they were looking like, and though it wasn't long after you had done that that I did see, you know, some changes. And as you said, you know, the results are already in. So I think, you know, anything that we can do to wake up the church, and I know there's another thing that we've been talking about, which is Alliance Defense Fund is promoting Pulpit Freedom Sunday, October the 6th and 7th, that weekend, you know, for pastors to be able to freely speak and they be defended by Alliance Defense Fund. So I think anything that we can do really to open up the eyes and ears of our pastors and the congregation is a big plus, and really it's a must. I think this is the last stand. Me and Miss Barbara saw Dinesh D'Souza's 2016. Miss Barbara, last night, you care to comment about what how that impressed you?
Well, sure. You know, I was thinking, though, as I was listening, I was thinking, you know, the church is key to this election. The church is key to the future of country, absolutely key, and I so appreciate Chaplain getting those voter guides out in 2010 to 80,000 pastors. I mean, that's just phenomenal, and we've got to be able to do that again because the church will make the difference. The church can make the difference and will make the difference. And, you know, Pastor Chaplain, I was thinking about what's happening with our military. You know, our pastors don't know that our soldiers are being required to fast and observe Ramadan along with the Muslims. They don't know that. They need to know that. Our pastors don't know the troubling statistics of the green-on-blue attacks are increasing in number. And by the way, I have those figures now given to us by John Bernard, and he is going to be writing about this. But 2008, there were 2 cases reported, 2009, 6 cases, 2010, 8 cases, 2011, 14 cases, and already in 2012, there have been 40 or over 40 cases reported. And as, you know, and they know the pullout date when we'll be leaving, and those who have supported the United States over there are going to be meet for the Muslims, for the Taliban and the rest of them. And so they're probably going to switch sides if they haven't already. And so those cases are going to just increase dramatically. And, you know, our pastors need to know all of this. And there ought to be some way of getting this information to them and to the American people. You know, I think so many of us are totally in the dark about this.
Yes, yes, we can educate pastors. We can send them voter guides. We can, you know, organize our fax machines to do all this again. It just takes a little bit of money. It just takes, and
yeah.
It's not that much.
Yeah.
I mean, to swing, you know how many millions, even billions of dollars were spent on those 46 congressional races that we helped turn last year? $20,000 is not that much. To mobilize 80,000 pastors nationwide, I think we could do that. If some wealthy person out there, and I'm not even asking for, you know, people to send their $25 donations, that's just not going to cut it. We need to find somebody who's one wealthy donor, maybe just 2 wealthy donors out there who are able to give $10,000 each, and we can get this done in the next 6 weeks before the election. It's not too late. We can do exactly what we did in 2010. But somebody needs to call me if they would, please. My phone number is 866-OBEY-GOD. It's a toll-free number that rings right to my cell phone, 866-OBEY-GOD. And maybe somebody out there listening can make that phone call today.
Well, Don, I know that you're going to – well, Ms. Barbara, we know, Don, that you've heard this, and I'm sure you're going to pass it out. I'm going to pass it out to, you know, Facebook and let some others also join in on it. But I agree, time is of the essence, and so chaplain does need that help. What are your thoughts, Don?
Absolutely, and I think he's absolutely right. It really doesn't take a ton of money, but it does take money. That's the unfortunate thing about politics, period, is that even as much as we have so many grassroots people, the chaplain's a grassroots person, activist, you know, we can't do it on faith alone, obviously, and it does take money to get these things generated and into the hands of the people that need to see this the most, because, as you said, most people do not know this is happening. I think they would be horrified and shocked to know that this was happening. I think most Americans, God-loving, hard-working, just trying to do the right thing by their family, the average American every day is not following politics, frankly, much of anything else, beyond what it's taking for them to keep their household going. And so I think it is left up to us to do what we can to get them the information so that they can fully educate themselves. I always tell people, I have no ability to change how you vote or to steer you to vote a certain way. I'm leaving that up to you. My only job is to hopefully educate you so you can make an educated, informed decision when you go to the ballot. And that's my whole job. You know, if you decide Obama is still the way to go, I cringe, I pray for you, and then, you know, there you are. But, you know, I think we really do need, and we need everybody. It doesn't take much. I know we're all hurting. I mean, the last 3.5 years have been, you know, we've all seen our paychecks go down, our taxes go up, and so, you know, we're all hurting, but it doesn't take a lot. I think sometimes people don't understand that really $5, $10 away when there are many, many people doing it. So never feel like I don't have enough to give in the sense that nobody will take your $5. Trust me, you send a dollar to workers, to people like the chaplain or to this show or to any grassroots organization, and they're going to be very appreciative of that. So I think we need to just...
Oh, well, Don, let me go ahead and let the chaplain again mention the phone number, and we'll all jot it down. I'm sure Don will, too. And also, your website, chaplain, where people can go on there and really, you know, make a donation, give to this cause, and it's of the most utmost importance that they do it quickly, so you can get going with it.
Yes, ma'am. My website is prayinjesusname.org. Again, that's prayinjesusname.org. And my phone number is 866-OBEY-GOD. Again, that's toll-free, rings right to my cell phone. That's 866-OBEY-GOD.
Wow. Well, you know, we are so thankful, chaplain, for your stand. And what, as Ms. Barbara had already, you know, spoken about it earlier, because, you know, our Judge Roy Moore got involved with your stand. And it's men like you and Judge Moore that really makes a difference and stiffens other people's spines. So what a boon this is going to be. So let's help chaplain. Let's get it going. So please go to his website, prayinjesusname.org. Or call him, 866-OBEY-GOD, and partner with him. My goodness, we are going against the George Soros. You know, you just wonder what's going on in this world. All you have to do is look at that mass money. You know, he's spending it as much as he can on changing this nation. So don't be doubting that. So you need to give of your own money, because we work for our families. That's our future, our families, our children. But unfortunately, we've already seen, you know, this president, Obama, he would rather welcome prayers during Ramadan in the White House than to welcome praying on the National Day of Prayer. So that right there, I think that's just a trend in the military following it. I hate to say that, Chaplain.
Well, it's entirely possible. I was encouraged, however. I want to give you a little insight. This morning I attended a rally in Colorado Springs, and I saw the vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, speak to a crowd of about 1,000 people here near the airport in Colorado Springs. And I'll tell you, this young man is the real deal. I was very impressed with him. I was very impressed with the way he speaks, the way he carries himself. I do not endorse Mitt Romney for president, but I'll tell you, if Paul Ryan is going to be the standard bearer of our country in future years, I think America is going to be in very good hands. Of course, many of you know I'm endorsing a third party candidate, Tom Hoefling, for president of the United States, because I think ultimately the president is the one who makes the hard decisions and not necessarily the vice president. But Tom Hoefling is the real deal, and he is an Alan Keyes type of a Christian conservative. He was the policy director for the Alan Keyes for President campaign in 2008. I was the chaplain to elect Alan Keyes for president in 2008. Of course, Diana, you know Alan Keyes. We all came down to Alabama, and we held a great rally there together. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit calling Christians to stand up for principle above party, not only in this election, but all the time. We need to uphold and adhere to our Christian values. And I think Paul Ryan does that well as a vice presidential candidate. I think Tom Hoefling does that well as a presidential candidate with America's Independent Party. So I don't know if you have the ability to write in any names in Alabama, but I saw another pastor in Florida was running a campaign. He had 360,000 people sign a petition saying they would write in the name of Jesus Christ for president of the United States. I don't know what to think about that, but it sure caught my attention, because Americans, especially Christians, need to stand on principle when we go into the voting booth. And I think we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, and I think sometimes it's hard to be both. It's hard to be wise, and I know many wise people are saying you should just vote for Mitt Romney because we don't want Obama reelected. And I understand that argument. And I have a bachelor's degree in political science from the Air Force Academy, and I'm not foolish about the math. I think that maybe that is a wise argument that some people may want to make to vote for Mitt Romney. But then the other half of Jesus' admonition is that we must be innocent as doves. And my concern is, and I do predict, by the way, that Mitt Romney will be elected the next president. I don't think Obama will be reelected. I think he's done too much damage to himself with the Obamacare and the anti-Christian positions he's taken. But when Mitt Romney is elected president, who are going to be the Christians that hold him accountable? The ones who voted for him, or the ones who said, we stand on principle, and we are waiting for your policies to match your rhetoric, Mitt Romney? You claim to be a conservative, but then when you were governor of Massachusetts, you endorsed homosexual marriage, you endorsed $50 copay abortions, and you did all of the things that you now say that you're no longer going to do. We want to see you put your money where your mouth is before you earn our vote. The vote of the Christian people does not belong to any one candidate unless they are a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm a little bit concerned about his Mormon faith, but more concerned about his policies. So when Mitt Romney is the president, is he going to be just another Washington liberal who runs away from conservative values of the Christian people? I don't know. So he has not yet earned my vote. What do you girls think about that?
Well, Kevin, I think I've learned a lesson even in our own state. You know, the price, as our founders have said, you know, the price of freedom is vigilance. It really, you know, we rest a lot of hope in that, you know, we can replace Obama, but whoever is up there, we also have to keep a watch, an eye on. So It's an ongoing work, but I do think after having watched Dinesh D'Souza's 2016, you know, that was really an awesome documentary. And, you know, having come from where I've come from, I kind of see the mindset that they're talking about. But I think the difference between Dinesh and Barack is, even though Barack Obama says his Lord, he is a Christian, his action really does not show it. So I think that's the difference. If Christ is not your Lord, you're going to fail, because you cannot say the pledge of allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. There's no way that you can mean it. But anyway, Ms. Barbara?
Yeah, Diana, you know, one of the things that really comes across in that movie, in that documentary, is that Barack Hussein Obama was totally programmed and is still programmed. He's in the same program he was indoctrinated with, you know, the anti-colonialism and the idea that bigger nations rape smaller nations and use up their natural resources, that wealth can't be created, it can only be stolen, and if someone has wealth, that means they took it away from someone else, you know, that idea. But the total programming and indoctrination he's operating in. He is the Manchurian candidate, as Lou Campo Pinosi talks about, only it wasn't just placed within him with a one-time shot. He was truly immersed and soaked in this philosophy that is totally anti-American, and he documented because of this philosophy, he is making us more vulnerable, reducing our number of nuclear missiles while other nations are increasing theirs, and he's helping them to increase theirs while dramatically reducing ours. And it's because of this philosophy that propels him in this direction to weaken the United States and strengthen other nations, particularly the Muslim nations. So the good news is it's being shown all over the United States, and surely it's going to have an effect. And people will learn from it.
And Don, here in Alabama, they're extending it. I mean, it's like people can't get enough of it. How about you? Have you seen it?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I'm planning on doing so. I understand that most of it isn't going to come as a huge shock to most of us. I saw the trailer for it before it came out, and it looked incredible. I'm hoping it reaches the folks that need to see it most, which are the swing voters. I think if you are conservative, you pretty much have already decided which way you're going to vote. But for those people that are still trying to make up their mind, frankly, I don't know what would have to happen to you for you to finally make up your mind. But in case you're still wondering, go see that movie. Because I think it says a lot about the character of the man. Of course, once again, I think if you're not paying attention and you haven't seen the character of Barack Obama, then, this would be the thing that would be, I think, sure bet to change your mind. I think very much like the chaplain, in the sense that somebody has to earn my vote. Although I have to say I've had a change of heart where Mitt Romney's concerned, mainly because I think that he has the best chance we have right now of getting out economically where we are. His choice of Paul Ryan was inspired and just business smart. So I have a new affinity for liking him. And I see the man, at least me, and I could be wrong, seems very sincere. I think my biggest problem is much like the reasons the chaplain stated, is that if you can be so easily swayed from your principles in a position of power, it's a little frightening to give you the ultimate position of power, which is president. But I also know that unless we dramatically change the Senate, it won't matter what we do as far as president goes. So, you know, and we're still working on the House, getting rid of some of that old fogey, horrible, I've been there for 40 years people, and putting in some truly conservative folks, because it's not a one election, two election problem we're going to solve. We have to remain vigilant. We have to hold. I think getting a Republican in, by the way, as president, makes our job that much harder, because it has to be as much as we have done to try to keep the president's feet to the fire, which hasn't worked. He doesn't care. But keeping the Senate and the Congress their feet to the fire, it's going to be that much harder, and should be, to try to keep conservatives conservative and show them that this is a conservative nation. And so, I mean, just as I said that I thought that John Boehner becoming Speaker of the House was a lateral move at best from Pelosi, I do think Mitt Romney would be a step up from what we have now. At least I don't feel like he would be the major point of the catastrophe I see coming with Obama getting another term. And let me just say this. Seriously, because this has annoyed me for 2 days now, but seriously, the man did not say in 2008, by the way, give me 8 years and I can solve all the problems. So don't be doing this backpedaling now that nobody could solve the problem in four. Reagan did it in 3.5. So stop your whinging, do your dang job, and let's move on.
Well, I will say one good thing from last night watching the movie with Miss Barbara. We did meet up, Miss Barbara, with a Democrat who is not going to be voting for him again. And I'm thinking if a person is a true patriot, a true lover of this nation, once they see that, I think that they're going to do the same thing this couple did. I cannot vote for him again. Because it's like giving away your country, in essence, because he has a train he wants to get this nation on, and it's not the train you want to get on.
That's the truth. That is the truth. You know, Diana, I'm reminded of something that John Bernard said to us, and that is we have got to express our outrage about what's happening with our military, and we've got to get word back to Romney before the election, and he stressed that it has to be before the election, because I think the fear is that if he is elected and he doesn't understand the situation with the military, that the status quo will be, continued. And so I would urge everyone to contact as many people as you can regarding our military situation in Afghanistan, particularly, and the infiltration of the Pentagon and the Department of Defense by these people that are in charge today.
Well, how can we get that word across to him, Don?
I don't know. The interesting thing about Mitt Romney is that he seems to be not trying to court the Tea Party vote. Evidently, we are the pariah. Yeah, because we're the real conservatives, you moron. No offense. But it is extraordinary to me that he's playing this, which is so funny because he really wants to court the Christian vote, and yet he wants to stay away from the Tea Party. I haven't heard anybody that I have any contact with across the country that says, oh, I have an in with Mitt Romney. So it's been very interesting. I know.
Well, we do have an in with Ryan, and I think, Chaplain, that was one of the things that you said. He is that glimmer of hope. So we do have connections with Paul Ryan through Grace Marie.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Getting as much information to Ryan as possible.
Wow, we can try to do that. But, Chaplain, we need to close the show with really asking, if you don't mind, you know, you who have fought for this country and really, you know, gave, I don't know how many years you served in the Navy, I've done for God, but I know it was a long time. You've given some of your very best years to this nation, and I know you want to pray over this nation this upcoming election.
Yes, I agree. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we turn to you in Jesus' name. We trust you. We vote for you with our hearts, with our minds, with our soul, with our strength. We devote ourselves to you in unconditional love as you have loved us, Jesus, when you died for us on the cross. And we ask, Father, that you would bless us and indwell us and move into us, take over our lives, and help us rescue our nation. God, rescue America in some way, Father, that you would call us to repentance, that you would call us back to yourself, that when our hearts are right with you, that everything else will be right in the world. That, Father, we ask that the battle not even be among Republicans and Democrats, but we fight unseen forces, Father. We wage a spiritual battle in the heavenlies, and with our intercession, with our prayer, Father, we ask that you would rise up by the Holy Spirit and defeat the devil, that the devil himself would be under our feet, that we would reclaim not just America, but the world for the kingdom of Jesus Christ,
yes,
that his kingdom would be established in our hearts, in the hearts of the church, and ultimately in all the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Chaplain. If you don't mind mentioning your website one more time, Chaplain, your information.
Yes, my website is prayinjesusname.org. Again, that's prayinjesusname.org. Or somebody please pick up the phone and give me a call at 866-OBEY-GOD. Thank you, Diana, and God bless you and all your listeners in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Chaplain. And, Dawn, we'd like for people to partner with you. And, Dawn, the Smart Girl Politics, that's another good group that I know you've mentioned before, I think. But anyway, mention your website, if you don't mind, Dawn, for those that are hopefully have friends that's living in your area.
It is SoCalTaxRevoltCoalition.org or CaliforniaTeaPartyGroups.org. And we can get them hooked up with groups in California. We have the largest contingency of Tea Party groups in the nation. And so, we'd love to get people active and helping.
Wow. Premier Tea Party group in California led by Dawn Wildman. It is fantastic. Well, thank you both, and we are so grateful to God for giving us another chance. And tomorrow we're going to have you back on again, Dawn. And I know you'd like to, we'd like to hear your perspective, rather, of this past DNC, because it will be over after tonight. So, anyway, we want to get your thoughts on that, but Ms. Barbara, I'm going to let you close with some closing thoughts, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show. We hope to have Luca Bocci with Tea Party Italia on as well with Dawn Wildman, and he's also spokesman for World Tea Party, so should be a very exciting show. Please join us, and please share this podcast with your friends and family wherever they are in this country or throughout the world, and so they can become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and may God bless America and God bless our troops. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.